So, excellent. Well, happy Sabbath again. Let's pray, and please pray for me during our time here. So, dear Lord, thank you again for the privilege of Sabbath. Thank you for your church here. Please be with me. Let your words be spoken. Please just give me a good order and ability to speak clearly and concisely. In your name, amen. All right. So, theme of Sabbath, in case you didn't catch that yet, we are talking about, you know, blessing, and then why we need to keep the Sabbath. And so this is a subject that's not only relevant from the beginning of the world, it's also very relevant in our current time, which is a little bit what kind of inspired us to think about this. You know, we live in a nonstop world, you know, and now we've got, you know, phones going, torque pressures, all sorts of stuff going on, and now we've got AI tools, which are, you know, agentic agents, which basically means that they're working around the clock, doing tasks for us so that we are always in the state of perennial busyness. And so, you know, the thing is, God knew from the beginning of time and just to this age that we needed a gift of time. Because, you know, think about it, our most precious resource we have is time, and we have a finite amount of that in our lives. And so what you do with your time is infinitely important. And so on the Sabbath, God invites us to stop, rest, and remember him. So what are we going to cover here? So few different things here. We can, I don't know if I can brighten that up a little bit, but can you guys see that okay there? A little faint. So, all right. So we're going to cover why is Sabbath being currently discussed in America. I am going to also talk about what the scripture teaches about the Sabbath, and then we're going to hear a couple of stories from two non-Adventist Christians who discovered the blessing of Sabbath, and we're going to learn what blessings God has designed for the Sabbath to bring in our lives. So first off, why is Sabbath trending? And so interestingly, there's several things going on we'll touch on. I did a little bit of, you know, cursory research, and thanks to some AI tools, and it came back and suggested across several tools to verify this that there was about 20,000 to 35,000 unique articles or broadcast segments that mentioned Sabbath or Shabbat. And this is looking at the past 12 months, just for November to November. So that's a lot of mentions of Sabbath, you know, and the word Sabbath currently. First of all, the thing that's driving a lot of this is politics and labor disputes. So by show of hands, who's familiar with Project 2025 has heard that tagline out there? So some of you. Okay. So simply put, what Project 2025 is a set of, you know, conservative agendas that are a big part of the current administration. And what's really brought this foremost in terms of Sabbath right now is a current proposal to amend the Fair Labor Standards Act. And this amendment would require employers to pay their employees overtime, time and a half, on the Sabbath. And so this proposal has triggered a lot of debate about, you know, Sabbath, what that means, and also even a little bit of Sabbath versus Sunday. And the bigger picture of that is a lot of concern around the rise of Christian nationalism, separation of church and state, and the exclusion of non-evangelical Sunday keepers such as Jews, Muslims, or Sabbath observers such as ourselves and other, you know, Sabbath worshiping faiths. So people don't really want, you know, to be forced to have a day of worship, and that's a good thing that they're not supporting that. Another one here. Let me go back a step. The other one is, you know, political commentary. So we got Charlie Kirk. I'm sure very familiar with Charlie Kirk. He talked very openly about Sabbath and, you know, about a biblical holy day and aligning culture with scriptures. And his platform, you know, has, you know, at least historically, pushed, you know, the Sabbath subject into mainstream politics and the conversation. And then wrapping all this, we're seeing among a lot of Christians, evangelicals, commentators, and a lot of young adults, a growing hunger for something other than like cultural or kind of coffee club Christianity. People are desiring kind of an original apostolic Bible-based faith, which is amazing. And they're asking, well, why are people keeping Sabbath? What's Sabbath? So it's a relevant subject we should be touching on. Next, we got the papal focus and influence on Sabbath, quote unquote Sabbath for them here. Sorry, one sec. Where did this go? or at least my mouse when it goes over to the other screen, so apologies there. So what is specifically going on with them that we should pay attention to? So the current Pope, Leo the 19th here, he has an active campaign he's promoting all over the world right now that is tying together unity, global environmental stewardship, and Sunday rest, and bundling this into an urgent moral response to contemporary crises. His work is continuing expanding on his predecessor's ecological agenda, which was Laudato Si, which is basically an encyclical promoting climate change and Sunday rest as the answer to that. A whole lot to study there if you're interested. He delivered his speech recently at Jubilee 2025 and at major global gatherings like COP30. And the net-net is he has an urgent appeal for world unity and, quote, ecological conversion, which is linking resting on Sunday with care for creation, fostering solidarity among nations. And he is constantly promoting and asking for courageous and concrete policies that will collectively turn around lifestyle, education, and spirituality. So that's a little bit what's happening in more in the Christian realms here. But what about the secular world? So interesting thing that's also trending, and wellness is a big theme in the secular world right now. Mental health is a big theme everyone's talking about. And we're seeing this concept of a digital Sabbath or a tech Sabbath be talked about. There's an author, who's Jonathan Haidt, who wrote The Anxious Generation, and he's advocating for a 24-hour break from screens. And this isn't a religious observance at all. This is purely framed as like a biohack to improve your mental health and rewire your brain and just deal with some of the stress in the world. Another one, more on the global front, is Israel and current Gaza conflict and the October 7th event there with Hamas attack. And so that's promoted a lot of talk about Israel, and specifically Jewish news sources and international reporting have mentioned Shabbat a number of times and tying this heavily to all the events in Gaza. And they're promoting a global initiative called the Shabbat Project, which is trying to get Jews from all backgrounds, religious or not, to get together and have one Sabbath they keep together, assuming that may be Saturday in this case, and that's being framed as a spiritual response to anti-Semitism and just a show of solidarity for them. Lastly, more on our local political front, blue laws were back in the news this year here, and we had six states that were specifically coming up talking about this. North Dakota was the primary one that got a lot of attention because we had legislatures there that just narrowly missed passing new and kind of expansive blue laws. There's five other states, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, New Jersey, Michigan, and Ohio, that actually were all working to weaken and did successfully weaken or repeal old blue laws. So good to see things, separation of church and state happening, but once again, there was this focus on the Sabbath or Sunday as they think of it. So where does the Sabbath come from, and why is there confusion around it? Well, it's a gift from the beginning of time. The Sabbath appears right before sin, or before sin. It appears before the Jewish nation existed, before Jews, were a thing. It appears before there was any church, and it appears right at creation. So let's turn to Genesis 2, 1 to 3 here, and let us read here. I learned from Doug Pastor, he asked him, why do you not open your Bible when you're presenting? And he said, it's because I have my text written on my slides, so there's continuity in my presentation. So I'm like, oh, that's a great point. So if you notice, I'm gonna be reading these texts from my slides, but anyway, welcome to read along. So let's read Genesis 2, 1 to 3. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because he rested from all his work, which he had created. So once again, I don't know, who knows the term 6-7? Have you heard that in our household? So we're joking that we should call our sermon 6-7. Work 6 days, rest seven. But anyway, that's aside. So right here in this text, we see that the Sabbath is a memorial from the Creator. It's his stamp of authority. It's his seal of authority. And it's a seal of the law. So it's obviously extremely important, because how do we know to God's authority. Well, he designated this. He made all of this. In Ezekiel 20, 19, 20, if you'd like to turn there, speaks this very specifically. It says, I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, keep my judgments, and do them. Hallow my Sabbaths, and they will be a sign between you and me, and you may know that I am the Lord your God. It's a pretty direct command there. There's no question that this is. God rested, and he enjoyed what he created. He enjoyed his labor, and he enjoyed being with his creation. You know, it talks about how God visited with Adam. You know, there's this fellowship with God, fellowship with each other, Adam and Eve in the garden. And so themes are the Sabbath is holy, it's a blessed day, and it's a day of rest. So remember the Sabbath. Interestingly, the word remember is only found in the fourth commandment. So let's just read that here in Exodus 20:8-11. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. But on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant nor your female servant, nor your cattle, your Sabbath ox, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, and the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. So he didn't ask us to make a day holy. You know, you hear people say, just make a Sabbath, a tech Sabbath, you know, for a secular thing, or a, you know, Sunday, just keep a day holy. It doesn't give us a choice. He already did this. He picked a day for us, and he tells us to make it holy. It's his day. He never unblessed it, you know, and it's not a rotating thing. There's a fixed order. There's a consistency to the universe. Ultimately, this, you know, as we see here, this is tied to creation, a covenant, and sanctification. Now, this sounds very doctrinal, very kind of rigid, theological. But let's just going to show a brief video here about what it looks like when evangelical pastor, someone who worshiped for many years, what happens when they discover this commandment and what it actually means to live the Sabbath. So I want you to hear a story here from a former Baptist pastor who thought that Sabbath was a day for football and fishing, and then God opened his eyes. So let's hear his testimony here. So, Dan, if you want to.
Happy Sabbath. I could not always say those words, but I say it now with so much passion, so much excitement, because, yes, it's good. And I'll tell you, I finally got it right. I finally got it right. For 56 years, my mind was blinded to the truth. The devil kept me blinded to this wonderful message, this truth. But now the word's out. The word's out. I know the truth, and he done messed up. But I'm telling everybody, amen. My goal is everybody that I see, I'm going to tell them about this wonderful truth that I have now. Praise his name. I was born to a Christian mom and dad. When I was born, my parents were believers. And I was born on a Sunday morning. And they tell me that on Wednesday evening that they had me in church, Wednesday evening. Now, I don't remember that, of course. I was only 4 days old, but they tell me that. But I do remember growing up in church. That I can count on one hand how many times I've ever missed going to church growing up in my life. So I grew up with a family that loved the Lord. They were not Sabbath keepers. We were Baptists. But that's all that I knew growing up. But we went to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, Wednesday night. I grew up in church. They dedicated me to the Lord. And I knew at an early age that God had his hand on my life. When I was 9 years old, I repented. I received the message. I repented. I was baptized and I received him as my Lord. And I knew at 9 years old that God had called me to be a pastor. I didn't know the word pastor at that time was the associated word. But as I look back, I know that I was to be a pastor at 9 years old because the hand of God was on my heart. And I grew up knowing that. And so I have a wonderful heritage of Christian background. I just didn't have this truth about the Sabbath. I just didn't have it. And so when I was 20 years old, I answered that call and I went to college and Bible college, and then I finally made it through seminary and so forth and got a degree and all of that, started pastoring a church, and I've been pastoring now for 35 years. But I pastored a Sunday church or Sunday churches for 35 years, and I preached the truth of what I knew to be the truth all that time. And we decided that God was leading us to begin a Christian school. And so we started a Christian school in Huntsville 14 years ago. And the beautiful thing is, because Huntsville has such an impact with Adventists there because of Oakwood and an Adventist population there is pretty heavy, several of the Adventist families have chosen to put their children in our school. Now I'm telling you that God planted them there for me because I didn't know the message. And so these children came to my school. And for all of these years, I kind of kept a watchful eye on these families and these children. And I was wondering, well, why would anybody want to waste a good Saturday going to church? And so I kind of had that looking down on you type of an attitude. I'm thinking, why don't you just not go on Saturday, because that's the day of football game and fishing and all of that. But why don't you just come to our church on Sunday and let's just do it right? That was kind of my attitude. But there were some of these students that had the calling on their heart that they would come to my office and they would say, "Pastor Reggie, could I talk to you for a minute?" And I would say, "Sure," because my door was always open. And there was this one young lady a few years ago came in and she began telling me about the Sabbath message. And I was listening to her, very politely listening, but I didn't open my heart to it. After all, I had a PhD, you know, and I was not going to be listening to a 10th grade girl tell me about doctrinal things. But I was polite as a pastor. So we sat there and we talked and so forth. We didn't argue. I just listened to her, and all along thinking, yeah, that's right. She'll learn one day. But I kept looking at the families. And you know what I discovered? That those Adventist families that God planted into our school, those Adventist families, they loved on me, they cared for me, they gently guided me, they just consistently lived and walked out their faith. And I remember one time we had a basketball game on a Friday evening. We didn't have a charge of the schedule, and the game happened to be on a Friday evening. And so one of our very best players was an Adventist student, and his dad came, and we had the Friday, it was a Friday afternoon game, and I noticed that right about 30, 45 minutes before sundown, right in the middle of the game, the dad come and he took his children and they left. Yeah. And I took notice of that. I think, why? And I know why he's doing that, because they're going to church. But the thing I'm trying to say is these families was consistent. They loved their God. They believed their message. And they walked in truth. And they did it with love. And then one day, this very man who I was telling you that took his children out of the game, he came to me one day and he said, "Pastor Reggie," his name is Guy Jusang, for those of you that might would know him. He said, "Pastor Reggie," he said, "you know, you and I, we have a great relationship, and we have, his children have been in our school 5 or 6 years." And I said, "Sure." He said, "Can I talk to you for a moment?" I said, "Sure, come on in." And he said, "You know, Pastor," he said, "I've got the book that I would like for you to read." He said, "Now, you know, we've read the book, and my family, we believe the things that are in this book, but you know, we might have it wrong. We might be deceived on something here." Now, buddy, he was setting me up here. Huh? Setting me up. And he said to me, he said, "You know, Pastor," he said, "I really appreciate you. You've got a PhD in theology and all that." He said, "Do you mind reading this book here?" And it was the Ten Commandments, twice removed. He said, "Would you just read the book? And at the end of the book, just tell me what you think about it. And if there's anything wrong with the book, please love me enough to come and tell me so that I can get it right." And boy, he was really stroking that ego thing. Huh? And I said, "Well, sure, brother, I'll be glad to read that book." And all along I'm thinking, here's my chance. I'm going to get it straight with these folks. So I took the book and I read it. I read through this book the first time, and I've got to tell you something. It literally shocked me what I read. I mean to tell you, it shocked me. Even though I had a PhD, I'd never learned this before. And I said, well, you know, there's got to be more to this. Maybe I just read it too quickly. And so I decided that I would read the book again. So I read every page. And there it begins sinking in, and I begin thinking, you don't think that maybe I've had it wrong all this time. And I begin learning about Constantine and all the stuff that happened there in the Catholic Church and how that we begin following after that tradition. And then I begin thinking, well, maybe I have had it wrong. Let me read it a third time. And so I read it three times. And at the end of the third time, I was so stirred in my heart, I said, I've got to let my wife read this book. And so I took it home, and I had not told her that I'd read the book. She didn't know the history that you just now know. I just handed her the book, and I said, honey, would you read this book? And just at the end of it, just tell me what you think about it. That's all I said. Just tell me what you think about it. She said, sure. And so she read the book. She read it like one night. It's only 128 pages. She just read the book, and I was there. I remember the very moment that she finished the last page, because I was waiting to hear what she said. She closed the book, and she looked at me, and I said, what do you think? She said these words. I'm going to quote you verbatim. She said, Reggie, this is a no-brainer. Why aren't we doing this? And I said, honey, I don't know why we're not doing that. Let me read the book again. Yeah. I'm a slow learner. So bottom line is, I read this book five times. Actually, I've read it more than that, but at that point, it was five. I'm telling you, this is the best book I've ever read. This book right here. It's the very best book I've ever read outside the Word of God. Because this book is personal to me, because this book enlightened me to the truth. And so after I read it five times, she and I, we embraced and we said, dear God, we are so sorry that we have never had this truth before. And for 35 years, I've been teaching people the wrong message. I did it with the right heart, the right attitude, but I had the wrong message. And you know, you can have the wrong message and have it be sweet about it, but it's still wrong. And so I determined, and we determined, that God would have us to make a lifestyle change. Someone mentioned that here today. It was a total lifestyle change. It wasn't just changing our day. It was changing our entire lifestyle. Yes. I mean, I at that point decided I'm going to give up my pork chops, my catfish, my shrimp. Yeah, I gave it all up for the Lord. Yes. Lifestyle change. So we were so excited and happy about this wonderful truth of the Sabbath that we had learned how that it's God's holy day. And He told us to keep it holy. He didn't tell us to make it holy. He did that. So He just said for us to remember it and not forget it and to keep that day set aside and to give ourselves to Him that day, that He would come and visit with us and He would put a blanket of His love on us and He would make it a sign to us. And so we decided, yes, Lord, we want that in our life. And so we decided we would make this lifestyle change, and she and I were so happy, but we had a church full of folks that didn't know. And we decided, well, we've got to go tell them. So the very next Sunday, it was showdown time. And they didn't know what I was about to say, and I didn't know what they was about to say. And I told them what I've just shared with you. And I didn't know what they were going to do, but I let them know. I said, listen, this is just something that God has spoken to me about, to my wife, and we have made a determination and a commitment to God that our lifestyle is changing, our message is changing, we will honor the Lord, we will keep His Sabbath day holy, and that's the message we're going to begin preaching, and we're going to be changing our worship days to Sabbath day, and if you can join us and you would like to join us, we welcome you. If you can't, we love you anyway. I didn't know what they were going to say. But praise be unto the name of the Lord, every single person in the church. Every one of them. Glory to His name. Yes. My. Thank my God. Praise His name, folks. Every single person in the church came to us that night and they said to me, Pastor Reggie, we don't understand all of what you're doing and why you're doing it, but we see the passion in you, we love you, you've been our pastor, we trust you, and we will follow your leadership. And from that Sunday on, we've never met on a Sunday, and we then started meeting on Sabbath. And what we do is that we usher it in. I mean to tell you, it's a celebration for us. It's a celebration. Oh, yes. And I got to tell you something. I know that you meet on Sabbath morning here. We can't wait that long. No, we can't wait that long. We have to do it at the beginning, at sundown Friday night, right when it's coming in. We say, Lord, we love this day. We love the Sabbath day, Lord. It's your holy day. And it's a celebration unto His greatness in our life. And so our whole church then began to grow in numbers. I thought it was going to shrink, but it grew. And it grew. And I must tell you this, and then my time is up, but you see, we started as a Christian school 14 years ago. I had pastored many years before, and we were starting a school, and I wasn't necessarily intending on attaching a church to that. I was just going to do a Christian school. But we had some families within our school that started coming to us and was not churched in any church, and they said, hey, could we just do a Bible study? And so that pastor thing inside me said, sure. And so we just started a little Bible study group. And I really wasn't wanting the responsibility of a church again and a school and all of that. And I jokingly said to the pastors around the town, I said, guys, you know, I'm probably the only pastor in town that prays that his church don't grow. You know? And I was joking. But you know what? And I got to tell you this. I was saying that in a joking way. But I found out that that offended the Lord. And one day the Holy Spirit just sort of thumped me right here on the chest. And He said, Reggie, I don't ever want you to say that again. Because it's not your church. The church belongs to Jesus. And He said, and I want it to grow. And I stopped saying that and I said, Lord, let this church grow. And when I started, when my wife and I and our church started receiving Sabbath and honoring Sabbath day and started worshiping and getting it right and following the message the best that we know how, and we still probably don't have it all right, but our heart is, we're going to do right. And you know what? As we started doing that, then that church started swelling and growing. And our little old sanctuary, it's not as big as it, but it's going to be. Oh, it's going to be. It's going to be. Because they're coming. Yeah, they're coming. It just fills up. And they just start coming in from all over the place. And you know what? The final thing I want to say to you is thank you. You know, people are hungry for the truth. And you've got the truth. This denomination has the truth. And thank God for the Adventist, how that the Lord has used the Adventist church to take me and to help me understand revelation. You've lived your life consistently, and I, even though I don't know you personally, I know how people look at you, how the Christian world looks at you, how that we look down upon you. I don't anymore, but how I used to look down upon you. And just thinking, you know, you just got this thing wrong, and you're cult, and you're crazy, and all. I used to say those things. And boy, didn't God do a good thing, put me right in the middle of you here, huh? Glory to His name. So God bless you. Thank you. And bless the name of the Lord. He's a good God. Happy Sabbath.
All right. Hope that was encouraging there. Let me switch back over here. All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed that there. So what, just a quick summary, what did he talk about? Lifelong Sunday pastor, and then he came to the Sabbath truth. You know, Sabbath led to a lifestyle change. You know, they prayed and they took action. And he, you know, quote, fell in love with the Sabbath. And that's a beautiful thing right there. Sabbath became a joyful witness that causes church to grow. And so people are seeking truth, concrete, you know, tangible truth. You can actually understand or read in the Word of God. And so that is an amazing thing. So let's talk a bit about how the Sabbath is a delight. It's not a burden. My cursor here. right there it is. Okay. So let's read Mark 2:27-28. I'll read here. And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." And this was a rebuke at the time to the Jews here, who had, I think, I don't know what, they had 500-600 rules, and a number of them they still have today. And, you know, when you buy an oven, it comes with a Sabbath timer and things, and oh, they'll have people push buttons, but, you know, they made it a burden. And so, you know, and I know that, I think growing up as a kid, it's easy to think of Sabbath as a burden. And I want to call Eric out specifically for being an amazing example, I think, of making Sabbath fun. So thank you, Eric, for all the awesome stuff you've done and fun things we've done on Sabbath. So I think it's just it's really what you make of it. What do you make of it for your family? And then, so let's step ahead a little bit here. So it's a gift designed for a good. It's not a burden. Don't let it be a burden for you. Sabbath is a day of rest from earthly labor. And so Hebrews 4, 9 to 10 is very direct about this. It says, "There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his." So talk about with all the mental stress and, you know, anxiety and things out there, it's not just a physical break, it's very much a mental break. You literally can let things rest. And there's really an awesome, actually, go back one step, really amazing promise in Isaiah 58, 13 to 14 here that we can anchor on here. It says, "If you turn your foot away from the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways." All right, I'm not sure where to. No, I'm not sure where it went. Let's try to recue it. I'm not sure where it went there. Okay, there we go. All right, we're back. "Not finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride high on the hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken." So pretty direct there. No question that you honor the Sabbath, God is going to be caring for you and taking care of you. Lastly on this, it was a day of worship and a fellowship between both God and with each other, with our family and with man. Leviticus 23:3 talks about, you know, gathering together for church. You know, this, specifically it says convocation, the KJV. Once again, the commandment, 6 days you may work, but the seventh day is a day of rest, a day of sacred assembly. You don't need to work, and wherever you live, it is a Sabbath of the Lord. So you don't need to physically come to church every Sabbath to have Sabbath, but gathering together is definitely a part of it. And Jesus certainly showed us that example of going to church on Sabbath. It says in Luke 4:16, one of the many verses, "He went up to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went to the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up and read." So let's see one other short vignette here, and this is an interview with Charlie Kirk here that he had back in March of this year at a conference called the Wisdom Pearl. And this was a Seventh-day Adventist event, took place down in Arizona. And speakers that were there were Danny Shelton, Ron Kelly, a gentleman named Ivan Raj, who looks really interesting. And so this is just a short interview where he talks about, you know, why he keeps Sabbath and what this means to him personally.
So Charlie Kirk, little bit of your background, religious background.
Yeah, so honor to be here, and thank you. The Sabbath is one of my favorite topics to talk about, honestly, because I'm so sick of talking about politics all day long. It's all I do. So it drives me crazy. This is actually way more important than that, and I could tie the two together if necessary, but we don't have to. It's more important than that. I grew up in a Presbyterian background. We left that church. We went to what could be best called as a Bible-believing evangelical church, so not quite Calvinist, not Pentecostal, somewhere in the middle. Look, we believe many of the same stuff, guys. I believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. I believe you need Jesus Christ. I believe in grace, not works. I believe that there is heaven awaiting us. I believe in an afterlife. I believe in a God that created the heavens and the earth. However, I grew up in a church environment that at the very best would de-emphasize the Shabbat. At the very worst, say that the Sabbath doesn't really matter. The Sabbath is in your heart. You don't need to observe it.
Yeah.
And The story is quite long. I'm actually writing my next book on the Sabbath. It's called Stop in the Name of God, because Shabbat means stop or ceasing. So I'm not here to sell you a book. It's not even for sale yet. It's just something to think about. And it's honestly how the Sabbath saved my life and helped preserve my family and helped preserve my career. And so two things. Number one, a pastor that I really care about, Pastor David Englehart. He's one of our board members at Turning Point USA. I was exhausted. It was the summer of 2021. I sat down with him. I said, I'm not sleeping well. I'm fatigued. And he asked me very bluntly, are you honoring the Sabbath? And I gave him very weak theological arguments, honestly. Oh, I'm not bound to that. Or no, I'm not really interested in that. I don't have to do that. And he really challenged me, and I didn't have good responses, to be perfectly honest with you. And pairing that with my very good friend, who is Jewish, who right now is going through a very difficult health trial, Dennis Prager, who I believe is the premier Torah teacher of this generation. He's amazing. He's a phenomenal mind. And if you don't know Dennis Prager, on the Sabbath, you guys would really appreciate Dennis Prager, because he has brought the teachings of the Sabbath to more millions of people than almost anybody alive, and I hope to carry that tradition. And he would always talk about the Shabbat, always talking about the Sabbath. And I found myself, after a couple of years of hearing this, getting really jealous of him. Being like, wait a second, you're able to just unplug for one day and not work and be with friends and family and worship God? I want that.
And amen.
I would start to get really jealous in the worst possible way. And then I realized, it's not something you go and purchase at the store. It's not something that you have to take out a loan for. It's simply the prioritization of the question of who's in charge. It's that simple. And if you believe God is in charge, and if you believe Genesis 1:1, because the Shabbat is a question of whether or not you believe Genesis 1:1, and if you believe Genesis 1:1, then you honor the Sabbath. If you have questions about Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, which is Bereshit, right? It's the first truth claim of the scriptures. Then on the seventh day you rest because God created the heavens and the earth. It is the longest standing celebration of time of the creation of the heavens and the earth. And so that realization changed my life. I could talk about this from many different dimensions, what it's meant for me personally, what it means on the macro. I also go to churches across the country. I speak at hundreds of churches of all different denominations, and I will challenge the Christian church because I believe this is the most ignored commandment of the Decalogue to our own detriment. And I will go a step further and then I'll stop talking because I know we have a whole program.
No, it's fine.
Which is that I believe that honoring the Sabbath is the commandment that allows you to honor the other nine commandments. And that the enemy has gone after the honoring the Sabbath because then it is easier to weaken the other nine. And I'll prove it to you. If you're honoring the Sabbath, it's definitionally easier to honor your mother and father because you're not working that day and you're with family. If you're honoring the Sabbath, it's easier not to covet your neighbor's wife because you're not around your neighbor's wife, you're with your family. And you're filled with gratitude that day. When you're honoring the Sabbath, it's easier to have no other gods before God because that day is built in time as a temple, as a sanctuary, to put God first, to not have idols, to not take the Lord's name in vain. The other nine commandments are made easier, are made more accessible for our broken, fleshly, depraved nature if we prioritize the Shabbat.
Amen.
All right. Let's go back here. All right. Well, I share that, not obviously, you know, I know he's a polarizing political figure, and I don't, you know, so I know all the things he taught, but the reason is he did get this part right, and also this is that message, and he's been sharing this for a long time, is a key reason why Sabbath and the subject of Sabbath is on so many people's minds all over the world. And, you know, I don't know any what will be in his book. I know it's coming out December 9th, but what I do know is that the Lord is using this, and will be use that book to put the word Sabbath and the concept of Sabbath truth in people's minds. So I think we should use that as an opportunity to be ready to answer people's questions, to have discussions around what this means. A couple of just things that were taken away from this. This subject, you know, the discussion was way more important than politics. You know, Sabbath and spiritual truths transcend everything else in life. You know, he shared that the Sabbath saved his life and preserved his family. So that's a really nice message. You know, families that are maybe struggling, you know, just interpersonal relationships, just say, hey, why don't you just have a Sabbath? Like, you know, this is a time we can have healing and fellowship. You know, it's just kind of neat that he was jealous of Shabbat joy, you know, rest, family, worship. And you know, God said, you know, he's a jealous God. You know, he's jealous of our worship, you know. And so it's kind of a neat kind of tie in there. And lastly, the Sabbath was the key that makes all the other commandments livable. So, you know, it's a great point. If you honor the Sabbath and you honor God, it's a whole lot easier to for these other temptations and things to fall aside. So just so you kind of wrap up here, what does rediscovering the gift look like for us? So we heard references both from Pastor Reggie as well as from Charlie Kirk here. Welcome the Sabbath at Friday sundown. I don't know if anybody has any little things you do. I know the Jewish faith, you know, light a Sabbath candle, but, you know, just encourage you to think about whatever it is that you do in your home that can, you know, just let your family know that Sabbath is important and you're saying, hello, God, I'm I'm forgetting about all the drama this week. You know, put aside your ordinary work, your school, your business. I know it's a temptation for me to check my work phone because there's always something going on. And I know there'll be a big deal, like a, you know, biggest deal of the year. And invariably, I'll tell you what, the devil makes that thing close on a Friday evening. You know, the end of quarter happens to fall on a Friday night. My coworkers and managers will be working until midnight. And even if I'm the lead, you know, we're up on a deal, I'm MIA on that Sabbath. And they all know that it's Sabbath for me and I'm not going to work. I'm not going to be available. You know, choose activities that help you delight in God, whatever that means for you, whether worshiping, you know, going out in nature, visiting people, you know, service, doing outreach, really important. And so these activities are going to recenter your family and your faith and help you stop worrying about little things that are more petty maybe and just don't really matter so much in the grander scheme of things and certainly don't matter from God's perspective. And lastly, go back, I think. We need to teach others about the Sabbath. That is the important thing. We can capitalize in this moment. We know the Holy Spirit's working. We know he's convicting hearts. I mean, thank you to Jim and Rick, I want to say. You know, two of you are newer to our faith, so welcome. Thank you for finding the Sabbath and the blessing that you're here. It says God uses humble people who are willing to share unpopular truth. We heard about, you know, Pastor Nikolai, humble man, right? And we're called to be watchmen. And so this is something practical that we can be watchmen on. In Ezekiel 33:7, it says, "So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel," which is his church. "Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them from me." So we don't go out and share the Sabbath to win an argument. We share it as a gift that we ourselves are learning to enjoy. So share it as a personal experience. You know, share it, you know, as a sign that we're honoring God, that he is our creator. Isaiah 56:1-2 says, "Keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come," you know, coming sort, "and my righteousness shall be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing any evil." So with that, thank you all. Happy Sabbath and God bless. Yes, and so on this Watch and Peace, and I want to thank Keith Nestor for bringing Ten Commandments Twice Removed a few weeks ago. Interesting story about that. So we have a number of these. Let's have them up at front. If there is anybody, I know personally I'm going to be giving this at some point to the principal of the little Christian school in Twist that our sons go to. And then we also got another kind of remnant publication, our newest printing of The Great Controversy, just looking at the current political environment, and it's got the cover of Freedom, Truth Wins. So we have these, they're up front here. If you would like to take them, I've got a whole lot more at home, but if you'd like to take some books and share them, would encourage you to do that. So anyway. We'll pray at the end. Let's go ahead and pivot to our closing song, and we'll pray after that. So thank you.
Amen. I hope that encourages everybody to let's watch this church grow. Let's bring people in. I want to see these pews filled. I want to see you guys in the back come on forward so more people can fill the back. So let's spread the good news. Our closing song is Remember the Sabbath again, because we might have forgotten. Go ahead and please stand.
To keep it holy, honor the day that our Lord commands us to cease our toiling, and we obey that we
Dear and Father, just thank you again for your amazing gift of the Sabbath, this memorial of creation, and for all the promises, the blessings you will give us from this. I just want to pray for our church here and pray for all of our fellow Christians that are in our community here, that each and every one will learn the Sabbath truth. We know your Holy Spirit is working to convict minds. Pray that we can use this time when the Sabbath is, you know, on many people's minds globally to be watchmen, to be able to share simple truths and share what the blessing and personal benefit of following your commands is. In your name, amen.
If you want to share a book, we have them right up here. Please see Ariel. He'll give you as many books as you want.